Today's reading is John 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete.
Amazing. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. I'm Gareth. I lead the church with Lizzie here and the team. And we spoke, I spoke last week and said there are two different rhythms that I wanted us to get into our heads and our hearts as we consider what it means to be disciples of Jesus, apprentices of Jesus, those who follow Jesus and try and build our lives around him. We're talking about being here as a church, a community of radical disciples of Jesus. And last week then we were talking about the rhythm of rest and work, about how Jesus established a rhythm for us, in fact, not just Jesus, but back in the very beginning of creation, that we would work 6 days and rest and worship for one. Time to enjoy God, enjoy his creation, enjoy other people, enjoy hanging out and not being productive because we are primarily human beings, not human doings. All right, so that was last week, thinking about the Sabbath. This week, I want to look at this different rhythm that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. It's all about pruning and fruitfulness. Jesus used lots of agricultural kinds of analogies, and this is a key one that I want for us to learn and consider today. So, verse 1, grab it if you haven't got it, open it up, it will help you as we look at the first 4 verses in particular. There is so much to say about this passage, I could preach on it for literally months, and we're going to take most of our attention today on the first few verses, and then comment a little on the others. But verse 1, Jesus says, I am the vine. Now, you could do a whole month or more of study on what Jesus meant by that. It's a reference to the Old Testament. It's a reference to the people of Israel. It's Jesus basically summarizing himself as the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The life of God, the blessing of God, the people of God is summed up and found in Jesus. So when he says, I'm the true vine, the listeners around him would have gone, oh, or they would have gone, depending on whether they chose to believe in Jesus or not. Now, we are trying to build our lives around Jesus, so we're saying, okay, Jesus is the fulfillment of all the stuff that was going on in the Old Testament. So what? Well, he then says that the Father is the gardener. So he's presenting himself as the vine into which we can be grafted. And again, I haven't got time to go into much of that, but you can read some about that in Romans 9 to 11 if you'd like to. But we, as people who are not Jews, I mean, maybe you've got a Jewish background, but most of us here, many people in the church don't have a Jewish background. We would be described as Gentiles in the New Testament, not people who are part of the family of Abraham. Well, we get to become part of the life of God. We get to have the nutrients of God flowing through us. We get to experience joy. as the reading ended there in verse 11. So the Father is the gardener. And the verses that we've read are encouraging us to bear fruit with our lives. We're going to get into more about that in just a minute. But the first thing Jesus says about the gardener is that he prunes the vine. Now, if you're a good gardener, you know that pruning is the most important thing you can do for the health of your plants. It's what a gardener is meant to do. You prune a plant to keep it healthy, to keep it doing what it's meant to do, to keep it bearing fruit. And like it says on the screen, there are three things, there are three aspects of the plant that you would choose to cut back, to prune away with your shears or with your secateurs. The first is that you might have some healthy buds or you might have some healthy branches that are just not the best ones. They're there and they're doing a little bit, but they're not doing everything that they could be. Will you cut them back so that the plant has the energy to put into the rest of the plant, the really healthy ones, the really productive ones? The second thing you would prune is unhealthy branches that are going to infect the rest of the plant. And the third thing that you would prune back is dead branches. So let's quickly have a look at these. Firstly, the healthy branches. Well, I don't know about you, but often I feel a little bit overwhelmed by all the opportunities that there are in life. Have you ever been into a supermarket and thought, I want some pasta sauce? That's all I want is some pasta sauce. And you look at this vast array of pasta sauces and you go, I don't know which one I want to get. And what I don't want to do is buy this one and then get home and find out that Lizzie says, I wish you bought the other one because it's nicer. And I don't want to think that I bought this one and there's actually a better one that I wish I could have tried. And it's going to take me months to try all of these different ones. Which one should I buy? That's just pasta sauce. The rest of our lives are filled with so many opportunities, so many different options. If you're in business, you might say yes to too many contracts than you can realistically serve. If you've got kids, you might overcommit to how many groups you can realistically get them to in a week. Not during lockdown, obviously. If you have too many friendship groups, I did this when I was younger at university. I had so many different friendship groups that I had an absolute crisis of what I was going to do at the weekend. Do I say yes to these people or these people? I ended up with loads and loads of very shallow friendships and very, very few deep ones. But I didn't want to miss out. I wanted the best opportunity that I could have. But if the good is taking away from the best, then a good gardener will prune it back. If the good is taking away from the best, then a good gardener will prune it back. So pruning healthy branches is to do with recognizing that the plant has limited resources. You and I, we have limited resources. There are only so many things that we can give our yes to. And it's the gardener's job to work out how to keep the plant growing in the most healthy way. Get that? It's the gardener's job, the Father's job. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to live in a sustainable way through your life. And he will, at times, cut things back that you thought were a great thing so that you can step into something that's even better. The point of having something healthy that is pruned is trusting. And we're going to get to that in just a little while as well. You see, a plant with fewer, stronger branches will be able to support more healthy fruit than a plant with lots of thin, spindly branches. All right, second then, unhealthy branches. Well, this is a bit more obvious, isn't it? This might be about a relationship that you have that is not particularly healthy. Or let's be honest, it might be a habit or a practice of your life that's just gotten a little bit out of control. And in time, this unhealthy habit or this unhealthy relationship is going to infect the rest of your life. just as an unhealthy branch will infect the rest of the plant. It might be an area of sin or brokenness that you've just not dealt with, or quite honestly are trying not to notice because it's just easier not to go there. Jesus wants to cut it away before it infects the rest of your life. Or perhaps it's to do with unforgiveness. Perhaps you're living with a sense of unforgiveness towards somebody else. If you are, that is going to infect the rest of your life. And the Father, the gardener, wants to cut it away. So when it says in James chapter 5 that we should confess our sins to one another that we may be healed, that is why we're encouraging accountability partners and spiritual companions, someone that you can trust with deep, intimate information about yourself, so that we can speak God's love and forgiveness to one another and remind ourselves that it's in Him that we find our healing. As slowly but surely we begin to cut these unhealthy habits or relationships or this unhealthy unforgiveness that remains within us out of our lives, that He might fill us even more. So again, get an accountability partner if you haven't got one. Third, dead branches. Now, this is pretty straightforward, isn't it, right? But do we really cut these things out of our lives? If various things in our lives just don't bear fruit, then the gardener comes along and gets rid of them. See, dead branches take up space and they can infect the rest of the plant. They can cause other branches to rub up against them and they just need to go. Are there dead branches in your life? Things that once upon a time brought you life, but now just need to get cut off. Because Jesus said, those branches that bear no fruit will be cut off. The Father will cut them off. Why? Because He cares for you. Because He loves you. He wants the best for you. So the next question then is, how does the pruning happen? Well, check out verse 3. Jesus talks about His word being the thing that cleans or has cleaned the disciple. Now, the Greek word for clean is the same word as prune, so it can get a little bit tricky with translating. But what Jesus is saying is that it is His word which cleans and prunes us. It's the stuff that takes away the things that aren't going to be healthy for us in the long run. So, it's His word. It's the scriptures that speak to us. It's Jesus, the word of God. And it's the prophetic words that others can have when they're speaking and praying through with us in your connect group or in your accountability partnership. Somebody saying, do you know, I think that the Lord might be saying this to you. And sometimes it might feel a little bit painful because we've opened ourselves up to be honest and intimate with somebody in the hope that we can trust them. But Proverbs says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Do you know this person? Do you trust this person? Are they speaking truth in love to you so that this thing that might feel painful actually is the Lord exposing something that's unhealthy or dead, or actually it's okay, but it's not the best for you? By spending time with Jesus in prayer and allowing Him to convict us, by reading the scriptures and feeling challenged, by sharing our lives with others in the ways that I've described, God's word prunes us. But remember, He does all of this so that we can bear more fruit. He even says, if something's been fruitful, I'm going to prune that as well because I want it to bear even more fruit. Something great's been happening and it dies, or something happens that means you think, well, what was going on there? And let's be honest, I think most of us have probably felt that once or twice in the last 7 or 8 months. What is going on? And in the midst of it, the Father comes along with His pruning shears and says, can I just take that away? can we deal with this and remove it from you? Because I love you and I want the best for you. So let's talk then about fruit. We've talked about the pruning, but let's talk about fruit. What is the fruit that the gardener is looking for? It's great that he's a good gardener, but I'm supposed to be in the vine and I'm not very good at producing grapes. So what is he looking for? Well, the first simplest answer is this, that if we are followers of Jesus, if we are apprentices of him, then the Father is looking for us to produce the same kind of fruit in our lives that Jesus produced in his life. Okay, great. Well, what's that? Well, the fruit that Jesus produced in his life was seeing the kingdom of God impact the lives of other people. Seeing people healed and restored and delivered and transformed because he was close to them. And as soon as people interacted with him, they left changed. That is the fruit that God wants for you. How about that? That when you interact with someone, they leave changed because they've interacted with the Jesus that's inside of you. That when you step out in faith and pray, or when you speak a word of encouragement, or where you mention the fact that Jesus died for someone to demonstrate God's love for them, that maybe the Holy Spirit could use you to transform someone else's life. And he may do it in ways that you'd never expected before. It may be costly for you. But it was costly for Jesus too, right? And so maybe he wants to use us to see other people's lives transformed. That's the first aspect of what it means to be fruitful. Allowing his life and love, those nutrients that we take for granted when we come to worship God and remember his forgiveness, his love, his restoration, his hope, his joy, his peace, all of that stuff flows out of us into other people's lives. But the second type of fruit is found in Galatians chapter 5 when we read about the fruit of the Spirit. The way the Holy Spirit impacts us and grows, perhaps a little bit more slowly through us. Those characteristics, those qualities that we see in the Father, that we love but seem quite distant from us. Of love and joy and peace. Anyone? Patience? Anyone need a bit of patience right now? Kindness? Anyone need a bit of kindness right now? Goodness, faithfulness, just sticking on in there, holding on. It's gonna be okay. Gentleness, self-control, anyone? That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit grows in us. And just think about this. How do we develop self-control? It's not in the times when everything's going right and you don't need it, is it? The times that self-control grows in us is when we're put in a situation which is driving us insane. We're like, I can't deal with this. And yet the Holy Spirit's going, yeah, you can. You don't have to react that way you used to react because you've got the new life of Christ in you. In Christ, you are a new creation. You don't have to respond the way you used to. You can respond the way the Father would because the Holy Spirit is in you. And we walk through repentance and faith like we talked about a few weeks ago into that journey of deeper and deeper relationship with God where he's able to grow his fruit more and more in us. So remember this, he prunes us so that we can bear more of his fruit. He cuts things away from our lives, sometimes good things from our lives, sometimes unhealthy things from our lives, sometimes things that have died but we want to kind of keep them around a bit because we like them, so that we can bear more fruit. So we've already said this lockdown thing feels like a time of pruning, right? Lots of things have been cut away from us that we used to take for granted. It's difficult. It's distressing. But for those of us with our eyes on the gardener, we can have hope. Because we're not looking at the plant. We're not worried about the soil. We're not even worried about the tools that he's using to do the pruning, which, let's be honest, look a bit scary. Imagine being a plant and somebody coming at you with a pruning shears. We trust the gardener. We keep our eyes fixed on him. Because Jesus tells us in verse 4 that if we're going to bear fruit, then we simply need to do one thing, and that's remain in him. Remain connected to him. Some translations say abide in him. And get this, if you read the rest of the passage, Jesus says he's going to abide with us too. Rest in him. Enjoy him. Trust him. Hold on to him. In fact, in 15 verses, he says remain 11 times. Do you think Jesus is trying to make a point by any chance? So what on earth does it mean to remain in him? Well, maybe all you feel you can do right now is just hang on. Hang on in there. Well, that's it. That's what remaining in him means. If you feel like all I can do is hang on, well, great. That's exactly what Jesus is encouraging you to do. But it's remembering that it's grace, which means that whilst it feels like we're holding on to God, actually, he's holding on to us. And one of the verses I've been meditating on recently is this incredible verse from Deuteronomy 33, where Moses is blessing the tribe of Asher. He says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." That is worth meditating on, people. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's holding on to you way harder than you're holding on to him. So we try to remain connected to the vine in prayer, in worship, in listening to him through our daily routines. So what about this rhythm thing that I talked about then? Because we've talked about pruning and we've talked about fruit. Well, if you think about the life cycle of a plant that's bearing fruit, a vine, then it goes through a season of growth when you get to harvest. And harvest is a busy time. It's a frantic time. It's why we have summer holidays in August, so that back in the day, kids could help with the harvest, because it's all hands on deck. And maybe something's developed in your life that's bearing so much fruit, and it's just frantic because you're trying to keep up with all the opportunities that there are. And it's a great time. It's a time of celebration. And after the fruitfulness, after the harvest, that's when the gardener starts the work of pruning, to cut it all back, to give the chance of rest. And so you get in life this rhythm of growth, of harvest, bless you, of being pruned, and perhaps not having quite as much going on in your life, and these questions of what in the world is going on. And if you think a little bit about like a pendulum, like this diagram suggests, going from pruning all the way through to growth and harvest and all the way back again, it's a bit like a pendulum swinging. The thing about a pendulum is it's always connected to the top. That wherever you are in this place of not a lot going on at all because things have been pruned back and you're thinking, God, why? What's happened here? Or maybe you're going through a place of growth and thanking God for all the opportunities. Or maybe you're at a harvest point and everything that you've been working for has been bearing fruit and people in your life are coming to faith and every prayer you're praying seems to be being answered and it's just amazing. And then suddenly that seems to stop. And what in the world is going on? Remain connected like the pendulum to the Father. It's our job, remember, not to do the pruning. It's not even our job to try to bear fruit. Our job is to remain connected to the Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to be the nutrients flowing through us, that we might be the blessing to other people, that we might seek to remain in God, whether things are absolutely amazing or really quite awful. We remain connected to Him. It could be argued that instead of fruitfulness, God is looking for faithfulness. That's what keeps us connected. And we trust that as we are connected, He will bear fruit through us. Just quickly, Jesus said in John chapter 6 that the work of God, would you like to know what God is expecting us to do? The work of God, the things that we need to do as believers. Jesus said, John 6, the work of God is to believe in the one that He has sent. That's it. Trust. Rest. Relax into Jesus. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Whether things are going remarkably well, or things are being cut away, and things are looking really tough, our work is to trust in Jesus. So I wonder what might the Lord be wanting to cut from your life so that you can be even more fruitful? Or I wonder whether you've already been pruned and things feel hard. Maybe it's just a case of holding on to God and remembering that He's with you just as you are seeking to be with Him. Let's take a moment to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good Father. That you are a good gardener. That you know exactly what you're doing. And in the midst of all the challenges and trials that we're facing, through lockdown and through issues going on in our own lives, Lord, where you're trying to cut things away, may we keep our eyes fixed on the gardener rather than the pruning shears. And Lord, may we be those who remain connected to you through the good times and the tough, that we might bear fruit for you, fruit that will last, that our joy may be complete.